जय यमुना तीरवनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी
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 जय राधा माधवा 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 जय कुंज बिहारी
जय श्री श्री राधा नील माधव की
जय
जय श्री कृष्ण बलराम जी की
जय
श्री ला प्रभुपाद की
जय
श्री ला गुरुदेव की इताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये
Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nasta praeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed and loving service unto the personality of Godhead who is praised with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So today we are reading daily we read the verse here before Maharaj. So today's verse is first canto, 15th chapter, 6th verse.
15 or 19?
Sorry. 19th chapter. I'm sorry. 19th chapter, 6th verse. 6th verse. Kalchakapu, you want to lead us in the chanting? And then word to word translation.
6, right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yavaila Satsri Tulasi Vimishra
Krishna Angrireno Abhyadikam Bunetri
Gunati Lokan Ubhayatra Sesham
Rastam na seveta marishyamanaha
Devotees like to chant? Anyone like to chant?
ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಂಗಿರೇಂದ್ರಾಭ್ಯಧಿಕಾಂಗುನೇತ್ರೀ ಕಸ್ತಾಂ ನ ಸೇವೇತ ಮರಿಷ್ಯಮಾನಃ.
Transliteration, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
The river which?
Why?
Always.
Lasat.
Floating with.
Shri Tulasi.
Tulasi leaves.
Vimishra.
Mixed.
Krishna Angri. The lotus feet of the Lord Sri Krishna.
Renu.
Dust.
Abhyadika.
Auspicious.
Ambu.
Water.
Netri.
That which is carrying.
Unati.
Sanctifies.
Lokan.
Planets.
Ubayatra.
Both the upper and lower.
Both the upper and lower.
Or inside and outside.
Inside and outside.
Sa Ishan.
Along with Lord Shiva.
Who else?
Seveta.
Worship.
Marishyamanaha.
One who is to die at any moment.
Yes, Prabhuji.
The river.
Ganges.
By which the king sat to fast.
Carries.
The most auspicious water.
Which is mixed.
The dust of the lotus feet.
Of the Lord.
Therefore, that water
sanctifies the three worlds
inside and outside,
and even sanctifies
Lord Shiva and other demigods.
Consequently, everyone
who is destined to die
must take shelter of this river. Prabhu, you read the purport.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Adiki.
Yeah. Jai.
Maharaj Parikshit, just after receiving the news of his death, within 7 days, at once retired from family life and shipped out himself to the sacred bank of the Yamuna River. Generally, it is said that the king took shelter on the bank of the Ganges, but according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the king took shelter on the bank of the river Yamuna. Sri Jiva Goswami's statement appears to be more accurate because of the geographical situation. Maharaj Parikshit resided in his capital, Astinapura, situated near present Delhi, and the river Yamuna flows down past the city. Naturally, the king would take shelter of the river Yamuna because she was flowing past his palace door. And as far as sanctity is concerned, the river Yamuna is more directly connected with Lord Krishna than the Ganges. The Lord sanctified the river Yamuna from the beginning of his transcendental pastimes in the world. While his father Vasudeva was crossing the Yamuna with the baby Lord Krishna for a safe place at Gokula on the other bank of the river from Mathura, the Lord fell down in the river, and by the dust of his lotus feet, the river at once becomes sanctified. It is especially mentioned herein that Maharaj Parikshit took shelter of that particular river, which is beautifully flowing, carrying the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna mixed with tulasi leaves. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are always besmeared with the tulasi leaves, and thus, as soon as his lotus feet contact with the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna, the rivers become at once sanctified. The Lord, however, contacted the river Yamuna more than the Ganges. According to Varaha Purana, as quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, there is no difference between the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna. But when the water of the Ganges is sanctified 100 times, it is called the Yamuna. Similarly, it is said in the scriptures, that 1,000 names of Vishnu are equal to one name of Rama, and three names of Lord Rama are equal to one name of Krishna.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Om Agnyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripi Pancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So this verse continues this very nice chapter of Parikshit Maharaj receiving imminent news of his death. How he received it? He just sat down firmly on the banks of the Ganges. The verse before this, he rejected all practices of self-realization. He sat down on the bank with determination and he concentrated his mind in Krishna consciousness. And in that way, he rejected all other practices of self-realization. So that verse we discussed before. And at the end of the purport to that verse, you'll find that Prabhupada leaves a little bit of suspense because he says now the Yamuna is still more sanctified for the following reasons. And then now we have the verse here. So this verse touches a few points and I'm hoping that devotees can bring up some of these points if you have read it, you know. Just as a summary, Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada writes here, is actually being very accurate in determining which part of the river of Ganges Parikshit Maharaj sat. And the part of the river which actually has touched Krishna in the sense of his leela and pastimes, this particular river, this part of the river is known as Yamuna. No doubt the Ganges also touched Krishna's lotus feet. But one time Maharaj mentioned that Krishna's lotus feet touched the Ganges water when he was in the form of Lord Vamandev. And Vamandev is actually an expansion or an incarnation of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Whereas Krishna's pastime with Yamuna is considered eternal. And because Krishna is considered complete as the first original candle, that's why when his pastime is with Mother Ganges, that section of Ganga becomes Yamuna. And that's why she's considered very, very great. Because the original personality of Godhead himself actually touched her. So this is what Prabhupada is also saying here. He's saying that Yamuna has become very sanctified because of the touch of Krishna. And he gives a pastime here. What is the pastime? That Krishna actually fell into the Yamuna River. Actually, I don't know, when I started hearing Krishna Leela, I did not know that Krishna fell into the river. I actually thought that Vasudev successfully carried Krishna across the river without him falling. But here Prabhupada writes that Krishna as a baby fell into the river. You know, so that shows why Yamuna has become very great. And in all the other pastimes of Krishna in Krishna book, you find many times Krishna was sporting on the river Yamuna, and many of his pastimes concerned touching the river Yamuna. So this practical point is that any particular any object, any particular area of service or object in this world, if it's touched by Krishna, becomes more sanctified than anything else in this world. There is something we should remember, practically speaking. The word Prabhupada uses many years ago, Tejas Prabhu brought this up, is Brahma Sparshana, the touch of Krishna. Just like Dhruva Maharaj was giving nice prayers, but at the end when Krishna gave him darshan, he was lost for words. And Maharaj remarks on that point that no matter how much choice prayers we may have, until we get the mercy of the devotee or mercy of the Lord, it's not possible for us to translate it into practice. Last night also, Jai Govind Prabhu was discussing this point of Kripa Shakti, that until and unless we actually have the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of the spiritual master, or rather actually, until we have the mercy of the spiritual master first, one cannot have the mercy of Krishna. So Yamuna ji, the Yamuna river is glorified because she touched Krishna. And Parikshit Maharaj, being a pure devotee of the Lord, wanted to take Sangha of the river. And this is the mood of a devotee. The devotee never approaches Krishna directly, but he is always very conscious of the fact that only with the grace of the great devotees and the spiritual masters can he actually make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very nice point. Otherwise, Parikshit Maharaj could have sat in his palace and heard Bhagavatam. Being a pure devotee anywhere would have been the same for him. But he's setting a nice example to us. By sitting down in the Yamuna, he was actually getting Sadhu Sangha. And once he sat down, because he was firm in his determination to hear Bhagavatam, and by the blessings of Yamuna River, the appearance of Shukadeva Goswami comes. And this is the process that we have. The other point that I can see here is that the river is carrying the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna mixed with Tulsi leaves. And this is the other point. Tulsi Maharani is considered one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. And just one Tulsi Maharani, one piece of Tulsi, is enough to satisfy Krishna. You can make the most opulent boga in the world and offer it to the Lord. But if the Lord sees there is no Tulsi leaf, he will never accept it. This is Sastra. This is the greatness of Tulsi. I remember also, I've shared with you this story that Maharaj brought up in Dwarka. How one time, you know, Rukmini Mata, no, Satyabhama was actually in Dwarka. And at that time, Narada Muni had come. Satyabhama was giving away some charity that morning. And when Satyabhama saw Narada Muni, she welcomed him and asked him, Naradaji, what do you want? I'm giving charity. So Narada Muni said, I will only take that which is most precious to you. What do you consider to be most precious to you? And Satyabhama first said, all this jewelry and all are very important. But Narada Muni said, no, there's something more precious to you. And Satyabhama thought and said, nothing is more precious to me than Krishna. Then when she said that, she realized what he meant. Because now she had said that which is most precious must be given to Narada Muni. So Narada Muni said, that which is most precious you give me now. So she said, I cannot part with Krishna. And at that time Krishna comes into the quarters of Satyabhama. And at that point of time he's watching the exchange between Narada Muni and Satyabhama. And Satyabhama then is becoming a little bit anxious. So Narada Muni says, I want Krishna, but if you cannot give me Krishna, then whatever wealth that you have, which is the equivalent of Krishna, you try to give it to me. That's compensation. So Satyabhama becomes a bit relieved. She takes out a big scale, and to the amazement of Krishna, she tells Krishna, Krishna, you sit on one end. Now Maharaj said, Krishna did not know what is happening. But Maharaj said, Krishna's relationship with Satyabhama is that of a henpecked husband. If you read in Bhagavatam, there is a verse, there is a description of Krishna when he is sitting down with his wives, how sometimes he is even ready to play the perfect role of a henpecked husband. And with Satyabhama particularly, Maharaj said, Krishna displayed this. Because Satyabhama was a bit gunda, you know, she was a bit fierce. So what happened was Krishna very meekly sat down on the side of the scale. And Satyabhama went into the inner quarters and she got all the jewelry and she kept putting it on. But no matter how much she put, not a single inch did the scale on Krishna's side move up. And it came to a point where Satyabhama had taken off all ornaments, everything. She was left only with sari. And she was really becoming anxious because Narada Muni said, well, if it doesn't reach equal, I'm just taking Krishna away. And Krishna was watching the whole thing amused. At that point of time, Rukmini Mata comes.
And Rukmini Mata is saying, what is happening? Why is Krishna on a scale and why is so much gold on the other side? And Nada Muni is smiling and waiting, and Satyabhama is looking very anxious. So Satyabhama said, my dear sister, you have come just at the right time. Please help me somehow to manage this situation. Krishna is most dear to us. Nada Muni says, that which is most dear to me, I must give. And I foolishly said, yes. Now can you find, maybe you can take from your side all the gold also. And together we can put everything in Dwarka and it'll possibly come to equalize Krishna's weight. And Rukmini Mata said, my foolish sister, you don't realize that all the gold in the world is never equal to the weight of Krishna. Rukmini Mata goes outside to the garden. She prays very hard to Tulsi Maharani plant. She plucks one small leaf from Tulsi Maharani. She comes inside and she puts the leaf on the other end of the scale. And the moment she puts the leaf there, Krishna's scale moves up, 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 past the equal point, and it goes all the way up. And Tulsi Maharani goes all the way down. And Krishna is smiling, and Nada Muni becomes very happy and says, I'm very happy to take this one leaf of Tulsi Maharani, because I know this leaf is actually very, very dear to Krishna. And Maharaj ended the story by saying, this shows us that all the wealth in the world is never equal to the greatness of the Lord. That's one. But the greatness of the Lord pales in comparison to the mercy of his pure devotee. That is why Krishna is always ready to give credit to the great devotees of the Lord. And that's why Prabhupada makes special mention that not only is the dust of his lotus feet sanctifying Yamuna, but because Tulsi Maharani is always smeared on his lotus feet, that lotus feet has become extra, extra sanctified. This is Krishna's mercy, and this is the mercy of the pure devotee. Parikshit Maharaj took advantage of this. Have you noticed the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Neela Madhav, especially Neel Madhav? You'll find Golsundar Prabhu has practically covered the lotus feet of Neel Madhav with Tulsi leaves. Sometimes Vaishnava Prabhu and I will see, because in all of ISKCON you will never see so many Tulsi leaves on Krishna's lotus feet. Only in ISKCON Rajkot you will see it. Because Prabhu realizes the value of the mercy of a pure devotee. This is the greatness of Tulsi Mata. So this episode is a very simple episode, but it shows that Krishna values the mercy of his pure devotee. And not only is it equal to Krishna's mercy, but when Maharaj said the scale went all the way up, Tulsi Maharani was considered greater than even Krishna, because this is the greatness of giving Krishna to someone. You may have read also in this book by Giriraj Swami, Watering the Seed. He mentions an amazing incident where Prabhupada's disciples went with Prabhupada to see a judge who had invited Prabhupada for prasad. At the home of the judge, after meeting the judge gave Prabhupada a murti of Krishna. And Prabhupada took the murti of Krishna and was very happy. At that point, Saraswati, you know, the small girl who was the first child devotee in the ISKCON movement, Prabhupada was very fond of her. She was there also. And when Prabhupada received the beautiful murti of Krishna, he playfully gave it to Saraswati. And Saraswati became very happy because Prabhupada said, Saraswati, here is Krishna. So Saraswati took Krishna and she was very happy playing. As the devotees were having prasadam, Prabhupada was in a playful mood. And when Saraswati put Krishna's murti on the table, Giriraj Maharaj said, Prabhupada quickly took it and hid it behind him. Then he asked Saraswati, Saraswati, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Saraswati became very anxious. You know, as a child losing a toy, she looked around and she started asking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And the more Prabhupada asked, the more her anxiety increased. And Prabhupada was still smiling. And now the devotees also joined in and they said, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Now it wasn't becoming a joke to Saraswati because she started crying. So Giriraj Maharaj said, one of the devotees, he doesn't recall who, one of the devotees, you know, was looking. And everyone kept asking, where is Krishna? And she couldn't understand, where is Krishna? Then one of the devotees changed the question to Saraswati, who has Krishna? And then Saraswati pointed at Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada has Krishna. And at that point, Prabhupada smiled broadly and he took from his hand the murti of Krishna and he gave it to Saraswati. And Giriraj Maharaj said, what we witnessed was a very simple affair, but deep in significance, because we realize the spiritual master is so pure, he has Krishna in his hand.
And he is so great that if he wishes by his grace, he can actually give just like that, Krishna. All we have to do is ask the right question. Not where is Krishna, but who has Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj had Krishna in his heart since the day he was not born. Normally the term is since the day he is born. In Parikshit Maharaj's case, since the day he was unborn, he had Krishna. Why? Because Maharaj said the stock of the good behavior of his father and mother and his great uncles, grand uncles, the Pandavas, their stock, their blessing was upon him. So that even when he was an unborn child, his great mother remembered Krishna and saved him from the clutches of the Brahmastra. And when that stock of devotional service is in the heart of the devotee, because of the grace of other devotees, nothing can take away that devotional service. And that's why you find, even though Parikshit Maharaj met with the greatest reversal of untimely death, based on an insignificant offense, you find that his consciousness was so perfect that instead of lamenting for his reversal of condition, he took it as the mercy of the Lord. And that is why he sat down by the most auspicious water, which is mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and tulsi leaves. Parikshit Maharaj surrounded himself with auspicious items. And if you remember Maharaj also, Maharaj always surrounded himself with the auspiciousness of Bhagavatam. Never Maharaj lived without Bhagavatam. When Maharaj went to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, he made sure that all the paraphernalia was suitable for his devotional service. Tulsi Maharani was there. Maharaj was always hearing Prabhupada chanting. Daily Jagannath Baladev Subhadra will come in the mobile. You remember, Prabhu, that mobile altar that will come? And Maharaj would be so happy to take darshan. And in that way, there was always an exchange of devotional energy. So Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us that we must always try to be surrounded by the favorable elements of devotional service. Otherwise, Kali will consume us. Kali will always consume us. That is why without Sadhu Sangha, it becomes very difficult to make advancement. Parikshit Maharaj, how much Sadhu Sangha he had? First of all, he sat down to hear about Bhagavatam. But before that, he sat down by the river Yamuna. And after sitting down, what did he do? He sat down and he tried to sit down to read and hear Bhagavatam. And therefore he had the association of Shukadev Goswami. And then all other sages also came to hear. So in this Sadhu Sangha, one cannot miss the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. So there's a very instructive point that comes from here. The other point I can think of before I ask devotees to speak also is the last line of this translation. Consequently, everyone who is destined to die must take shelter of this river. This river is nothing but the pure devotee of the Lord, touched by Krishna. So therefore, consequently, everyone who is destined to die must take shelter of the great devotees of the Lord. And who is not destined to die? Everyone is destined to die. So it is not Parikshit Maharaj alone who was destined to die. And Maharaj was very particular about the word destined. Because Maharaj said, in the word-to-word transliteration, you don't find the word destiny. You find the word Marishya Manaha, one who is to die at any moment. And Maharaj said that word any moment is where Prabhupada has put the word destiny. The word any moment is where Prabhupada has injected the word destiny. Because our destiny is at any moment we can die. That is actually our destiny. Sometimes we say, what is our destiny? We don't know. But Maharaj said, there is a destiny that we all know, and that is to die. So that is why the Acharya, the greatness of Prabhupada is there. Because any other Sanskrit scholar would just have said, consequently, anyone who is to die any moment must take shelter of this river. But Maharaj said, Prabhupada has said, one who is to die any moment, that is his sure destiny. Otherwise, we always say, what is our fate? I don't know. I don't know where we will go in life. But wherever you go in life, you will die. Whatever you achieve in life, you will lose. So, what destiny is different between you and I?
all destiny is the same. Consequently, what use is it for palmistry, astrology, this stone, that stone? What consequence is there to depend on anything or any other paraphernalia except devotional service? So Maharaj took that word destiny and went deeper into it to say this is the significance of understanding what is the meaning of destined. Destined. Devotees, you have looked at the purport, you have looked at the verse. Maybe we can hear some of your realizations. These are some things I have taken after reading it this morning. Can we hear anyone? Kalchakra Prabhu, is there anything you liked in this verse that, that came up at you, you know?
Is it okay if I connect to the pastime itself?
Of course, Prabhuji, definitely, please.
This is connected to, I think some time ago, I asked you, I think we had some email exchange and you, when I was in some difficulty, you told that, you know, when you are in a similar difficulty, Maharaj asked you to take, put your legs in the shoe of Parikshit Maharaj.
Yes.
So I was trying to do that for almost a year. And in the end I found that instead of putting my legs in Parikshit Maharaj's shoes, I was putting it in Sringi's shoes. Because, when we try to put into that situation, we try to see that person, oh, how pitiful situation he is in. So we are comparing also, we are also in that pitiful situation. Parikshit Maharaj is victimized. He did a very insignificant effort, for that a curse of death. And I also, if I say anyone for that, if you try to put our eyes in their shoes, then we are trying to put Parikshit Maharaj in our shoes rather than
the other way around.
So I was trying to see, after 1 year I found that it's a Sringi who is feeling victimized. Says,
yes,
because Krishna has left, all these watchdogs and rascals, they are all coming and that is victimization actually.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't have any support and these people are bothering me.
Yes.
So then I saw that. So then I found this whole thing other way around. And it helped me also because in Bangalore we have been doing this Bhagavatam, I told you.
Yes,
right?
You told me, yeah.
This thing. So every time I had to give a class, you had to go deeper this thing.
Yes.
So every third or fourth verse you come, and if I'm not taking class, someone else will take the next, the other verses. So we have the 18th and 19th chapter, we read almost the, it looked like Maharaj's arrangement, you know,
yeah.
Kind of, the whole thing was going on for almost more than a year. So this whole thing, instead of becoming Parikshita aged, I became shrinkified. I thought that I should use these words to,
yes,
you know, for myself, to see that, you know, every time I try to look, the one nice point on devotee made in his Bhagavatam class is that he asked why Parikshit Maharaj did not counteract.
Yes.
So he asked this nice question. Everybody said, hey, he accepted it as karma, it's, because he is a devotee of the Lord, he did not counteract and all that. Somehow it inspired me to think over and see that, you know, a few verses, he specifically says, it is my mistake.
Yes.
And he accepts that mistake.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the moment we accept our mistake, then we stop counteracting at least.
Yes.
It is for that.
Yes.
So that somehow led to this whole section,
yes,
reversing the roles, really, in fact.
Yeah.
Reversing the roles and identifying ourselves whose slippers we are
wearing. That proves one thing in Bhagavatam. Actually, there's no villain or hero in Bhagavatam. Every personality in Bhagavatam can teach us so many things about how we should behave. There are personalities in Bhagavatam that behave in a certain way so as to show us how not to behave that way. And there are personalities in Bhagavatam who behave in a certain way to show us how to behave.
That's why he rounds off saying all three of them were just playing the role.
Yes, all by providence. Yes.
So when Chamikrishi concludes by saying that, you know, he is praying to the Lord, after Tiraskrita is the last verse that he speaks.
Yes.
And after that, it just gets over. And then there is a beautiful verse he concludes with saying, those who are, what is it, he says...
just before.
It's towards the end of the 18th chapter. after Tiraskrita, generally the transcendentalists, even though engaged by others in the dualities of the material world, are not distressed, nor do they take pleasure in worldly things, for they are transcendentally engaged.
Yes.
So here, I think this verse applies both to Shamik Rishi and to Parikshit Maharaj.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Because Prabhupada says the purpose that both of them are
yeah.
on the same level.
Yes. The king was a devotee, the rishi was a mystic.
Yeah.
Therefore, both of them were unattached to the accidental incident created by the Supreme Will.
No, what is that? Accidental incident.
Accidental incident. And last point, the playful child was an instrument in fulfilling the Lord's will. Nice point, baby. Yes.
So, I was just thinking that probably, you know, really accept our mistake, that's
yes.
where the whole thing, the
it's very true.
And purification
yes. And Maharaj said, the moment you accept something as a mistake, there is no way the energy from the other side can actually surmount us. The matter ends there. The transaction terminates. And then we become free to sit down to hear Bhagavatam. And that's exactly what Parikshit Maharaj did. He could sit down firmly because he repented. He repented because he admitted. And he admitted because he realized that, yes, it is me. So instead of feeling victimized, which he could have done, and say, oh, the whole world is picking on me, you know, what did I do? I've got so much accumulation of good things, and this is all that has to end. Maharaj also pointed out, generally when a child who is unborn is saved, and then born, you'd think the child should live for 100 years. Otherwise, he should be terminated at the point before his birth. So, Parikshit Maharaj's curse exceeded all expectations that a reasonable person should expect from taking up devotional service. But devotional service is guhyani. It is mysterious. And Krishna's way is always unknown. And the more we try to find out what is Krishna's plan, the more we become bewildered. But those who accept a reverse as Krishna's plan, they are free of the bewilderment. And Parikshit Maharaj did not take a chance even after sitting down firmly. He decided, instead of sitting down firmly in my palace, better I sit next to Yamuna River. And now, after sitting down, I should not waste my time. I should hear Bhagavatam. And because the sincerity was there, the perfect speaker came to speak to the perfect listener. So this is a nice point you brought up. It's a realization of yours. You've been through it, so it's very
and
effective.
And the mind is very funny, that when others tell bad things about you,
yes,
it
Prabhu.
Tells all the good things about you to yourself.
Sorry, again? I missed you there, Prabhu.
Sathya Prabhu is realizing.
I concur with you.
You go slow again.
So when you hear bad things from outside,
yes.
I mean, our mind counteracts it by saying all the good things about yourself.
Ah, yeah. That is true. That is true. It never says, yes, yes, the outside is right. You know, for self-esteem, which is false, it tells you, no, 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 actually, you're all right. You know? Yeah, it's true. Any other devotees? Sajjan Prabhu?
The real difficulty for me as such... When
bit
I
louder,
that,
Prabhu. Devotees.
The real difficulty which I face personally means that it is... For me to speak, sometimes we speak in the classes that this is what we have to do. But when it comes to the practical application, we always fail. I don't know what is the reason. So I request you to enlighten me that what should be the mood, what should be the process by which we can accept this. It takes some time.
Does.
Maybe it takes, say, 1 week, 10 days. The time is lost. And we know that Marishyamana.
Yeah.
We can die at any moment.
Yes.
So the time span
yes.
expands, and that's where the problem lies. So how to avoid this time span and come back quickly?
From what I remember, Maharaj said the problem between the gap between hearing Bhagavatam and practicing it is because of the interference of the mind. The interference of the mind between the hearing and the practicing is what destroys the practice. And because we lack the faith in the words of Bhagavatam, and because, as Maharaj said, the fabric of the quality of devotional service is absent, it's very easy for the mind to take over. Mind's nature is to rebel against the teachings of Bhagavatam. And because our intelligence is not fixed in our heart at the lotus feet of Krishna, the mind controls us. That's why this that verse, Evam Vyavasito Buddhya, that's very important verse. Because Gajendra actually succeeded where others would fail, in a disastrous situation, being caught by the crocodile, because he fixed his intelligence in his heart. It's very important. He fixed his mind in his heart first. That's the key. So Maharaj said, we have to be sincere about what we hear. And we should try seriously, the moment we have heard it, to put it into practice. If we try, as Jai Govind Prabhu pointed out, the rest of it is mercy of the Lord and mercy of his devotee. But the moment we think we are doing that endeavor, and it's our endeavor and our actions which are actually creating this great practice of Bhagavatam, then we can only hear, but we can't practice. The moment we realize that after hearing, it is the mercy of the and the grace of the spiritual master that will help us, and then we make endeavor, granatascha swachestitam, there must be endeavor. Endeavor to try to do something which Bhagavatam and spiritual master wants us to do. The moment there is attempt, then in time, the things change. We have to be patient, Prabhu, because patience is one of the favorable qualities that Nectar of Instruction tells us a devotee must cultivate. Impatience is a product of the mind. Patience is a result of devotional service. Maharaj said, mind's imposition is on impatience. But the devotional service actually controls patience. To the extent that we are sincere in our sadhana, to that extent, Krishna gives us the patience to understand that we must accept the difficulties as his mercy. Tatenu kampam. That verse actually tells us two things. In that verse, the first point that Sridhar Swami says and Prabhupada quotes is that one simply has to remain alive in Krishna consciousness to inherit the spiritual kingdom of God. Sometimes when I become discouraged in devotional service, Maharaj would take that verse and say, see, the qualification is very simple. You just keep your head above the water. That's all. You just tread water until the boat comes. Nobody's asking you to swim 100 miles here, 100 miles there. Nobody's going to check what kind of strokes you swim. If you can tread water, you will go back to Krishna. Maharaj said, at the end of the day, all you have to do is remain alive in Krishna consciousness. What a beautiful statement. Just remain alive. Yes, Prabhu? Tattenu kampam sushamikshamano. It's in that verse. 10th canto, 14th verse. 14th chapter. 10.14.8, is it? Okay, 10.14.8, first two lines of the purport, Prabhuji. And in the 14th chapter, that purport is Prabhupada's purport. So Maharaj said that purport is very important. Prabhupada quotes Sridhar Swami to say, because in that verse it says, just like a son can inherit the kingdom of the father naturally. Maharaj made it simple. He said, now supposing your father is alive, he's got a lot of money. You, no money. How are you going to get father's money? You just have to remain alive longer than your father. That's all you have to do, Devaki. You just remain longer alive so that your father dies before you. The moment your father dies before you, all that property that you've been looking comes to you. So Sridhar Swami says, one simply has to remain alive in Krishna consciousness to inherit the mercy of the kingdom of God. What a graphic way to describe, you know. What a beautiful way to make us understand that that's all we have to do, Maharaj said. Just be alive. Don't leave Krishna consciousness. Don't leave the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Don't leave the lotus feet and instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Just follow Prabhupada. That's all. For good or for worse, Prabhupada is the way. And for good or for worse, Maharaj showed us that he followed Prabhupada. So all we have to do is follow Maharaj. That's it. If we do that and just remain alive to the instructions of Maharaj, just remain alive to what will please Maharaj, that's enough. Success is never in our hands. Success is completely in his hands. So what can we do then? We can't do anything else. Just remain alive. So this thing is nice. And to be alive, Maharaj said, you have to be patient. Maharshi, those who are impatient, they die very fast. But those who are patient in the Krishna consciousness, they don't die. You know why? Because those who perform devotional service expecting results, their devotional service becomes motivated. And once it is motivated, it will become interrupted. And once it is interrupted, you become disturbed. And once you become disturbed, you become disillusioned. And once you become disillusioned, you leave Krishna consciousness. You leave the process. See? And Maharaj mentioned, it's the process that's more important. Process means rules. Rules means rules given by spiritual master and acharya. How to perform it. Prabhupada Nectar, if you read, there's one part where there was a disciple, sannyas disciple of Prabhupada, who after a while left sannyas. But he continued accepting disciples. Actually, it's Siddha Swarup. Right? It's actually Siddha Swarup that that Prabhupada was referring to. He grew long beard, long hair. And one time when Maharaj came to Hawaii, he came to see Maharaj, Prabhupada. So one time when he came to see Prabhupada, he spoke to Prabhupada. He was saying how he's chanting so many rounds and how so many disciples are being inspired. And after he left, Prabhupada remarked to the disciples, his chanting has no value because he is not following the rules. And at that point of time, the disciples could understand that what is more important is not just the chanting, but following the rules and the blessings of the spiritual master and then performing the chanting. And to do that requires patience, Maharaj said. It doesn't require speculation. Speculation, impatience, always related. Patience, faith, always related. So just be patient and earnestly wait for the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, so that one day we can inherit this kingdom of God. Parikshit Maharaj was destined to die. So the only thing he was impatient about is to receive Bhagavatam. But this impatience was founded on faith. So we should not be impatient to the point where we become disillusioned, but impatience to the point that we are eager to hear about Krishna. Maharaj said, if impatience is transformed into eagerness, then we will not lose faith in the process. But if impatience is transformed because of speculation and not proper following of the rules, then it will drive us away from the lotus feet of Krishna. And speaking about the lotus feet of Krishna, one verse Maharaj liked very much is the prayers chanted by the five elements in the third canto, fifth chapter, 42nd verse, 3542. The devatas and the five elements, they worship the good Lord. And it is very significant for us because remember, Prabhu, in hospital, one night suddenly Maharaj spoke to us and he told us how the five elements just appeared before Maharaj. We cannot repeat these things outside, Prabhus and Matajis. These are so confidential. But after a while, I and Vaishasyapu looked at each other and think, is it a dream that Maharaj just told us this point? He said that the five elements appeared before him. And folded that they are, with folded hands, they appeared before Maharaj. And what else he said, Prabhuji?
They are requesting that you never misuse us.
Yes.
Never misuse us.
That you have never misused us. And then Maharaj told us, even when he was child, when he was washing the clothes in the river Godavari, before washing the clothes, he would see what was the direction of the river. If the direction river went this way, he would wash the clothes in such a way it will not impede the direction of the river. And the five elements repeated this point to Maharaj. And they said, this is why we are offering obeisances to you. And at the end of that discussion, it was night, you know, I still remember it. I remember I asked Vaishasyapa Prabhu, I heard, right? Did you hear the same thing? And he said, I also heard the same thing. And after that, Maharaj became silent and withdrawn again. It's an amazing point. That's why I went back to read the fifth chapter of the third verse of the third canto, and this 3542 Maharaj liked very much. Yad shraddaya shrutavatya cha bhaktya. We can repeat. Yad shraddaya shrutavatya cha bhaktya samridhyamane
samridhyamane
hridaye avadhaya
hridaye avadhaya
Jnanena Vairagya,
Jnanena Vairagya,
Balena Dhira,
Balena Dhira,
Vrajema Tatte,
Angri Saroja
Pitam,
Angri Saroja Pitam,
Yat Shraddaya,
Shrutavatya
Cha Bhaktya,
Samrijyamane,
Hridaye Avadhaya,
Jnanena
Vairagya,
Balena Dhira,
Vrajema Tatte,
Angri Saroja Pitam.
And this is what Parikshit Maharaj is meditating on in this verse. The lotus feet of the Lord, sanctified by Tusi leaves. Yamuna River, which has been sanctified by the lotus feet of the Lord, the dust and Tusi Maharani. And this is what the five elements also chant now. And the meaning is so beautiful. Because there, Shraddhaya we know, means to hear. And the word that is really nice is to hear with eagerness, is how Prabhupada translates the verse. If you look at 3542, the word faith is actually translated into eagerness. So Maharaj explained that when one has faith in Krishna, the symptom of faith is your eagerness to perform devotional service. And not your disillusionment, not your distraction, but your eagerness. Your eagerness is a good barometer for how much faith you have in Krishna. No matter how much problems, as Prabhu said, no matter how much the world victimizes you, if you continue to have faith in Krishna, the eagerness, utsah, enthusiasm will never go. And Krishna will protect you. So, simply by hearing, Prabhupada translates simply by hearing. And Maharaj said, why simply? Simply doesn't mean anything else except that our life should be simple. When our life is simple and the needs are less, then we can hear about Krishna's lotus feet. When our life is complicated, it's very hard to sit down to hear about Krishna. We are caught by the politics of the institutions. We are caught by the politics of our relationships. And we forget the process. So Prabhupada writes, simply by hearing about the lotus feet, with eagerness, that's the beauty. Faith translated as eagerness and devotion, bhaktiya. And by meditating, Maharaj liked this word meditating. Why? Because Maharaj said meditation means contemplation. And contemplation means to consider. You remember there was that verse that I took in Chopati? In that,
the four
different kinds of, the first class, second class, third class and no class. Right? The no class is one who doesn't hear. And the first class is one who is?
Chintita.
Yes. Who's anticipating. And I remember asking Maharaj, how do you decide? How can one anticipate? Anticipation can be speculation. But Maharaj said, you will never speculate the spiritual master's order if you always are considering it. And true enough, in the word-to-word transliteration, chinta is actually, anticipate is actually given as consider. Maharaj said, when you are considering somebody's opinion, what are you doing actually? You're actually giving it thought. That means you are contemplating. That means you are meditating on it. If a judge says, I will consider your points now and then deliver a verdict, that means he's contemplating. Maharaj said, that's how we must consider Bhagavatam. That's how we must meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. And one who does that, the spiritual master gives him the transcendental understanding to perform an activity which he can anticipate that the spiritual master will be pleased by. So it is not airy-fairy in the air. It is not inspiration which is based on mental speculation, but it is grounded on real study and meditation of Bhagavatam. So meditating upon them, lotus feet, within the heart. Maharaj said, not in the mind, not in the head, not in the kidney, not in the liver, but in the heart. Because heart is the seat of sincerity. Heart is the seat of sincerity. To the extent of your sincerity, to that extent, eagerness, meditation, and devotion can manifest. And then the translation goes on, all this must be done. When all this is done,
then the result is you become enlightened with knowledge. And that knowledge is anticipation. That is knowledge of Bhagavatam. And it is enlightenment, Maharaj said, which means it is realization. A realization, like a bulb going off in your head. Suddenly everything is clear. Mm-hmm. Otherwise we read, as Prabhuji said, but we can't practice because the bulb isn't on. It's still off. And all this, Maharaj said, is useless until it is done on the platform of detachment. Detachment from what? Detachment from the feeling of victimization of material energy. The feeling that I'm victimized. What Prabhu brought up is actually the final hurdle for any one of us. The ultimate state of feeling sorry for yourself. That's why when Vidura was afflicted to the core of his heart by the insulting words of Duryodhana, he was afflicted, he was hurt, but he was not sorry. He was not sorry, because Maharaj said, the moment you feel sorry for yourself, that's the end of your devotional service. You only think of yourself. How can you think of Krishna then? So this is detachment. Otherwise Maharaj said, we are wearing dhoti kurta, we have detached ourselves from gambling, illicit connection, all these things we have detached. And we think we are very detached. But the real detachment is this. And once you have the detachment, then what happens? On that strength of detachment, one becomes pacified. And the word pacified in the verse, word to word, is dhira. Dhira. Two words which are normally used differently in this verse are completely different. Shraddhaya is eagerness, dhira is pacified. It's amazing. Why? Because Maharaj said, only when one is pacified by this detached mode on the strength of devotional service, can you actually become grave. Then only you can become sober. Until then, we cannot become sober. This gravity cannot come until you understand the destiny is to die. And once you know your destiny is to die, then what are you becoming attached to? Why are we wasting time considering our useless relationships? Why are we translating our devotional relationships into material energy? Why? Maharaj said, this is why we are always in trouble. Bhutanam yan mitaha kalihi. The social intercourse has been mixed with our devotional relationships. And that's why it becomes all khichdi. And it gives us the upset. This is the problem. And this exists between husband, wife, between brother, 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 sister, in all levels of our devotional society. That's why we are troubled. So Maharaj mentioned Pacific Ocean. He said pacified is coming from the word, Pacific is coming from the word pacified. And Maharaj said, I don't know where it is in history. He said, you know, some people were going on the Pacific Ocean, travelers, and they had just passed Indian Ocean. And when they came to Pacific Ocean, they said, this ocean is very calm. Maharaj said, anything to do with Indian is always disturbing. But when he came to Pacific, it became very calm. So they said, better we put it as Pacific Ocean. And Pacific, pacified. The ocean is calm. And Maharaj said, this is the beauty of Pacific Ocean. It's much larger than Indian Ocean, much more water in it. At the top, it is very much churning sometimes. But in the depth of the ocean, it is always calm. So we may be in the midst of churning, but we should always be detached from the churning and we should become pacified. And the ending part of this verse is we must therefore. Therefore means for all these reasons above, we must take shelter of the sanctuary. Beautiful word. Why shelter and sanctuary? Actually shelter is sanctuary, sanctuary is shelter. But Maharaj said when Prabhupada makes an emphasis, he repeats the same word two times. Shelter is sanctuary. But sanctuary actually gives more defined meaning of shelter. Shelter means just having a shelter at the top. But when you go into an animal sanctuary, Maharaj said, the protection for the animal is all around. There are the people who will take care, make sure the animal is not killed. The forest is all around, making sure the habitat is nice. So the sanctuary of the lotus feet of the Lord is complete. We don't need to go anywhere else. And that is why the five elements and the devatas are just concentrating on that great lotus feet of Krishna. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, that's a beautiful point.
They
Yes.
Go anywhere within that.
Very
they
true.
Don't feel that they are being put in.
Yeah, very
in
true.
In Krishna's lotus feet also, we have the freedom.
We do. We do. This is a nice point. In sanctuary, the animals roam freely without tension. They don't feel... Whereas you put them in an animal shelter, it's very often in a very small environment. But in a sanctuary, they are free to roam. Free to roam. Maharaj said, this is Prabhupada's mercy. With all the different personalities and different kinds of modes of nature and all different kinds of people. Maharaj said, have you noticed our society? We have devotees of all shapes and sizes. And many devotees are actually mental, Maharaj said. Many devotees are complete misfits in society. If they were outside, they can't work. They can't get along with people. And people mistake them for being mental. And for these people, Prabhupada gave the sanctuary of devotional service. So this is a nice point. Matajis, any other points that you liked in this verse? Vaishnava Seva Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
As far as sanctity is concerned, the river Yamuna is more directly connected with the Lord Krishna than the Ganges.
Yes, Prabhu.
Actually, both are the pure, but the river, if you consider the river Yamuna, is more directly connected to Lord Krishna. This is very important. You know? Same way, Maharaj is more directly connected to Krishna.
Yes.
Maharaj mentioned that if you just stay with the Maharaj, there are many inabilities with us. You know?
Yes.
Maharaj definitely slowly purifies. But
yes.
You have to stay with him.
Yes.
That is the main thing.
Yes. Just stay with him. Yeah. That's all. And actually, that's what Maharaj always wanted us to do. Many times he told me, don't worry about anything. You just obey me. I've told you do this. Just do it. Don't think. I'm saving you so much of problems. You don't have to think. Don't have to calculate. Don't have to figure out. Nothing. Just do it. That's all. That's why when the Nike sign, just do it, came out, Maharaj was really happy with it. He said, whoever it is, he's a devotee. Even though he's talking about shoe, you know, he knows. This is Bhagavatam. Just do it. Don't think. Just do. The moment you think, Maharaj said, you'll never do. You'll never do. If you think, Maharaj, why? That's it, finish. Maharaj said, you'll never do it. Exactly, Prabhu. My God, we'll go both. We'll sit in the mental institution. If we think practically how to actually do it, it cannot be worked out. That's why many of our God brothers also always sit down and tell, Prabhu, give us the projection. We tell them, if we project, Prabhu, we will never build. Because it doesn't add up. Dwarka, how Maharaj built also, what we had and what came, it doesn't add up.
It adds on, right?
It adds on, but it never adds up. How it happens, we don't know. This Samadhi also. Prabhu was saying, he was thinking how. And then somewhere he went, this Jain temple, they had these pillars, isn't
yes,
it, Prabhuji?
Yes,
they were all ready-made. Ready-made. Supposedly for a Jain temple, but actually made for Maharaj. Now who spent? They spent, we got it. Just see. So
even
that's why.
Whatever we plan, it never work.
Never.
And without plan, whatever is come, always.
Exactly.
See our Rajkot program.
Yeah.
You know, Rajkot program.
This Krishna
people,
festival.
So much plan is there. And,
big
plan. Not that much plan.
Meeting after meeting was there. And here, no planning. No planning. That's why from devotees, like, I remember for opening, Dwarka opening, that night before, all the devotees from Singapore came. I was not there, I was there in Singapore. I was going to come next. No, I was in Rajkot. And then they called me. This is Mataji, Sunaina Mataji called me. In Singapore, we are very habituated to planning and getting everything ready 1-2 days before. She called and said, Prabhu, is there going to be an opening in Dwarka? I said, yeah. I said, why? She said, Prabhu, there is nothing. There's no decoration. It is night. What is going to happen? So I called Vaishnava Seva Prabhu. I'm panicking. I have this Singaporean mentality.
But Prabhu is different. So see, now within no time, morning Mangalati, everything is done. I was thinking, how? Prabhu never plans in these things. I know, because he has had experience with Maharaj. And by 4 o'clock in the morning, when I called them, Mataji said, you won't believe it. There is so much flowers, I don't know where it came from. It's all over the place. And this is the greatness of having faith in Maharaj. Many things he never planned. And many things, the plan he made also, he never followed. That's the other thing. He never followed. He only followed the dictations of the Lord. And since we don't know what the dictation of the Lord is, better we just follow Maharaj. Safer. Very safe. Very, very safe. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Mahavishnu Goswami Gurudev ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande. We're going to the school, Prabhu? Should I call him now?
I'm fine. I think 9:30 next temple is fixed.